Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Cal Walters is AWOL. Oh, he's actually got something else going on this week. As far as I'm concerned, he's AWOL. Both veterans of the Marine Corps, we are glad that you have joined us for the most important entertaining show on the radio each week. As we discuss the issues and concerns facing our veterans today, we've got a great show coming up for you. But first, we want to thank some of our sponsors that make this show possible. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal. You get that? How about that, Doc? Am I sick or just crazy? Both? Okay. Both. But I'd like to thank all of our fine sponsors, the ones that stay with us, and our great listeners. We could not do this without you, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook or follow Cal on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And it's an extreme pleasure tonight to have a little lady on board here with us that has been on with us before. I've been calling her my co-host, and that's Dr. Tanya Butler. And she has got some outstanding guests with her tonight, have been involved in some of the programs that she has involved in, that she is involved with over in the Daphne area. And, you know, we talked to them some about Key Largo and some events that they just got back from doing down there. So, Doc, it's a pleasure having you on board. You guys had a blast, I guess.
Oh, gosh. You know, too much fun.
Too much fun.
Too much fun.
No. Never too much fun.
Come on. You know, just like the Marines say, what hope it happens in Okinawa. I mean, you know, in Key Largo stays.
Anywhere but out of town. Okay, okay. We'll go with that. But it's awesome. I've had a chance to talk to some of the fine veterans that you have aboard with you here tonight, and give us a little insight about what we can hear from them tonight.
So tonight we've got a special guest Christina Hilt, who is a Navy veteran. She went on this trip. She's from Mobile.
Uber drivers.
Yes. Yes, we actually took two female Marines. What am I saying? You said that.
See, I got you messed up already.
You got me messed up.
See we that, took Christine? I told you.
Two female veterans from Mobile out there to the Key Largo trip. So I was real excited to be able to take locals out there. And she's going to talk about her experience out there in Key Largo, the kayaking, you know, the health and healing that occurs out there on the water.
Awesome. That is great.
And then we have Dave Pollard, who is an Army veteran, and he is here to talk about his experience with the meditation program, the 12-week meditation class that was sponsored by the Vera Fortis Foundation, and he's just going to talk about what for him.
That meditation class was one of the classes that I guess was given at your facility?
Yes.
Oh, in Daphne? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've talked about some about that before, but that'll be neat to be able to get someone that's actually been there and see what their insight is in regards to that.
Yeah, and that's what we really want the vets to talk about their experience, because we can talk about these programs all day long,
right,
but you need to hear from the veterans who have participated in it from their perspective,
right,
so that you can know what's really going on and, you know, truly if it sucked or not, but, you know, it's all pretty awesome.
Hey,
so.
We're vets, let's be vets, you know.
Right.
You'd want an old Army Brit.
I'm not a brat,
oh,
and I wasn't a little lady that you called me
brat,
either.
But, so. But you are Army.
I was, yeah. We called a lot of things, but yes, okay. Army veteran.
She's an Army veteran, she's an awesome lady. She's a great doctor, and she's doing some marvelous things for our veterans in the Gulf Coast area and even all the way down to Key Largo. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But give us a little insight. You want to talk with Christine now, or you want to get started? How do you want to handle it?
Yeah, let's talk to Christina, since she is here. She is ready and waiting. And so, Christina, thank you for your service, U.S. Navy. Why don't you tell us, first off, how you heard about Team River Runner?
Well, I was at a VA appointment, and the doctor had mentioned the Team River Runner program and asked me if I was interested, and I thought, why not? And I went ahead and went and actually found it very enjoyable.
Have you ever kayaked before this trip?
Although I was in the Navy, I have never kayaked.
little dinghies.
That's emergency boats for Navy.
Do they come with paddles or just Marines?
Yeah, there you go. So. We use crayons.
Yeah, that's right. That was another show. So tell me, how nervous were you about going out there and experiencing kayaking?
Initially, I thought it was like canoeing, and I was completely wrong. There was so much more to ocean kayaking than just paddling left and right. You have to know different strokes. You have to learn how to stop quickly. You have to learn how to turn your boat around. And actually, there's some maneuvers that I had never seen where you actually roll yourself over completely in the water and then be able to bring yourself back upright again, which...
Ooh, did y'all have to do that?
Yes, all of us.
Oh,
yes.
Well, Marines couldn't do that then.
Nope. That's why they paddle the boats.
That's right.
So,
we paddle the boats.
Also, what was interesting is that we were able to help visually impaired people, and they actually got to guide us, too, as if we were blind. What they did was they blindfolded us, and we used a vest that vibrated. So on the paddle, what they would do is they'd push forward, and it would vibrate on our front side, and that would tell us to go forward in the kayak, and on the back would mean paddle backwards, and, of course, right to left.
And so, Christina, it was great instruction that you got, and you got a good introduction to kayaking. Tell me what you really got out of this program. What did it give you? What did you bring home with you?
Well, there was a sense of camaraderie that I got to share with other veterans, and I got to hear their war stories. They got to hear mine, and made a few friends along the way, and I just really, really enjoyed getting out into the outdoors and getting some physical exercise. Sometimes that helps more than any medicine.
Right, it does.
It certainly does. Now, tell me, what are the expectations for you? Do you want to continue kayaking now that you're back? And, you know, how are you going to do that?
Absolutely, I would love to continue. Hopefully, with the help of the doctor at the VA that told me about this trip, that I will be able to become a guide and actually go on the trips and help other people learn how to kayak the way they help me.
Good. Thank you, Christina. It's always great hearing from other veterans so that, you know, you get to see hear their experience on this. So Team River Runners chapter down here in South Alabama is in transition. They're moving a shipping container, and they're going to start paddling starting in July. So you can get involved in kayaking here on the Gulf Coast just by contacting Team River Runner South Alabama on our Facebook page. And if you want to donate and continue helping these programs, you can look at teamriverrunner.org and pull the tab to donate. And that trip was Key Largo, and that was for blind and visually impaired veterans and disabled veterans. So, Christina, thank you. Is there anything else you want to leave with that's about this program?
Anybody out there you want to say hi to?
Hi, Mom.
There you go. Hey, you're blessed to have her. You know,
yes.
I wish I could say hi to mine. But, we all lose ours sometime during that period, but it's neat to. It's just really unbelievable to see, in talking to Christina a while ago before we went on there, to see how involved she really got in what she did and how they enjoyed that trip down. And that had to be neat.
Yeah, we posted a ton of pictures on the Facebook page. So you can look at Team River Runner South Alabama. Check out those pictures.
And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, we will return on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Go Navy.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our numbers are 343-0106 or 866-983-2777, and you can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. And it's an extreme pleasure to have Dr. Tanya Butler with us here tonight. She's been on with us on numerous occasions, and it's always exciting to see what she's doing with her veterans and the programs that she has at her facility over in the Daphne area. Doc, that was exciting information from Christina a while ago, to see the fact that she enjoyed that. And all the training that you get, talking about flipping a kayak over.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen on TV, and that's as close as I want to get.
Well, anytime you want to get in a boat.
No.
Yeah.
I can't hold my nose that long.
Come on, I thought Marines could swim.
We can swim.
I got nose plugs.
I didn't say nothing about drowning in a damn kayak.
If you're scared, just say you're scared.
I'm scared. I'll be scared. I'm scared.
Army to the rescue.
Well, you can come rescue me then.
But I'll tell you something. You know, when Christina got there, and a lot of them, when they got there, they're really nervous. And,
I'm sure they were.
And plus, you know, the theme of this trip, it just seemed to be, when we talked to all the vets, it was about isolation.
Right.
And it's always interesting when, you know, just getting vets there sometimes is a hard part. And then when we get them there, you know, it's just getting them out of their shell.
Right.
And to hear vets talk about feeling like they have been isolated for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the trip, when we talk again, you know, seeing the tears and the emotions of, you know, not feeling alone anymore and feeling like they have new friends and lifelong friends.
Well, and then with the blind people that are vets that you had there as well, and them to be able to go through that series in the kayaks, and that kind of blows me away. The thought that you could actually do that and they could do that and enjoy it. But yet, after I've listened to you talk about the program, I kind of understand it more. But it's got to strengthen them mentally and physically
Yeah, but it's not just them, Tom. You know, and here's the thing is that the problem, I think, with our society is we focus way too much on the disability.
Right.
And in Team River Runner and a lot of these programs, all we do is focus on their abilities. And I'm going to tell you something. I have
That's the reversal of everything that we, you know, that we see and everything that we expect and everything that happens to our vets.
Yeah, well, and maybe that's what we should be changing is because, you know, just because you can't do one thing anymore, right. You're discovering all these other things. And I'll tell you, I've talked to numerous vets over the many years that said, believe it or not, the best thing that ever happened to them was this injury because without it, they would have never, ever had a million opportunities that have come to them.
Right, right. And the exposure that they get and the training that they receive to maybe go into a different direction with their life.
Right.
And their capabilities and utilize the capabilities that they actually have.
Well, and if we would just start looking at it as person-centered first instead of the disability.
Right.
I'll tell you, it's one of the things that I've gotten so upset personally with veteran service organizations. And, I mean, we've been... you know, we've had this come at us where people look at our Facebook page and say, I don't see any disabled veterans on there. I said, well, what Facebook page are you looking at? Because every veteran there is disabled.
Right.
And
right.
We're doing our job because if you can't see them.
That is so damn true.
Yeah.
You know, and that's neat.
Yeah.
You know, that is actually occurring.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
you've
nothing.
You've got to feel great about that because you being a veteran yourself. And you know, you've injured in service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a hell of a disability that you've overcome. But and it's neat to see that you had that, did that, and now you're doing this.
Right. And you can't tell, you know, one of our vets who lives her life in a wheelchair, I put him in a kayak. We paddle up next to a dock and we're having conversations and somebody says, oh, what's this organization? And we talk about that. And they said, oh, well, where's the, you know, the ones with disabilities? And I'm like, well, right there, you know, the guy next to me, he lives his life in a wheelchair. And, you know, and it's awesome because it literally is an equalized playing ground right there.
That's in because they're going like, what the hell is going on? You know?
And I want people to change their perspective because I'm going to tell you, I had the blind and visually impaired veterans. They were our teachers because even though, you know, I may be trained in working with, you know, the different disabilities and working with blind and visually impaired veterans, especially with kayaking, there's no better teacher than them because they've had to learn to adapt to their disability.
Right.
So I make them teach the vets.
They can do that, you know, and that is just unbelievable.
And empowering to them.
It is. It's empowering to them, but it breaks them out of their shell.
Yes, it absolutely does. And it's humbling to the other vets who have their sight when I have to blindfold them, and they experience the fear of not being able to see where they're going and have to rely on somebody else.
Right.
And
well,
so
that's
now they know.
That's kind of where Christina was going a while ago about it. You know, when you put that blindfold on, it's, brand new ball game now.
Yeah.
You see them freak out. Yeah.
Oh, they freak out on the water when something touches them, especially going through the mangroves. I'm sorry, I'm sweep for a reason because I get the best entertainment watching this. And so, you know, when I see the branch touch them and they nearly come out of their boat, they freak out. And I'm like, it was just a branch, not a snake.
It's not a snake.
So,
I'll go in the kayak as long as I can pack, okay? I got to carry my weapon.
Well, shoot around here with all the alligators. You need to.
Ain't that the truth? That's right. Well, you got a gentleman here that you brought with you tonight. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, hi. This is Dave Pollard. Dave participated in the 12-week meditation program that was sponsored by the Vera Fortis Foundation. We hosted this over in Daphne. And this program was fantastic. It had an educational component first and then went into the meditation. So we're going to talk to Dave because I want you to hear from his perspective about this program and what he got out of it. So Dave is an Army veteran. Hua. Yeah, thank you for being here. Why don't you tell us, first off, about this meditation program and what made you want to participate in this?
Well, I think first off was meeting you in the pizza restaurant and you coming to my aid in a time when I really needed someone. And then through that you told me about the meditation group, and I just had to take you up on it.
Well, that's awesome. So, Dave, in this program, just give us a little idea of what they did. What did a typical class look like?
The typical class was anywhere from 4 to 6 veterans, and including Tanya. And then we had a non-veteran who actually guided the group. She was not a veteran, but she suffered with similar symptoms than the rest of us had. So I'd say that's...
Yeah, we have to give a huge shout out to DeWanda Schwartz, who was our meditation guide, who is an incredible story that you really need to get to know her, who really touched the heart of all of us. And, you know, just because you're a vet doesn't mean, I mean, you're not a vet doesn't mean that you can't suffer from PTSD. And so tell me what you liked best about this program and what you really got out of it.
What I liked best about the program is we went through a book called Path to Freedom, and developing mindfulness, so as Tanya had said earlier, we went through an educational component, and that book was that educational component. So the book, it was a lot of concepts I had received earlier in other therapy and other groups. But the good thing about this group was not only did we go through and learn or relearn the concepts, but we also applied them. So, and that was the meditation phase of the group.
Good. In case you hear the growling behind, Dave's service dog is here, and he sees himself in the window, and he's protecting him. So we have a friend here with us. So
that's cool. I knew they could probably hear the growling.
Yes.
And we needed to, to explain that a little bit. But I know a lot of veterans that they have their service dogs in there, and that are certainly an asset to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, what is one thing that you took out of this program, and would you recommend this to other veterans?
One thing that I took out of the program was helping to alleviate feeling isolated, helping to get around a group of people who are dealing with some of the same issues I am, hopefully making some lifelong friendships, and I guess the old army acronym of BLUFF, bottom line up front, is yes, I would absolutely recommend this to other veterans who, may be experiencing diagnosed or undiagnosed symptoms of invisible injuries.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This meditation program really was an instructional program. There were classes that we had in there on understanding, the drama triangle and that. And we'll talk more about this after the break. And so, Dave, thank you for sharing your experience.
You are welcome.
Mars, updated winds are 2-0-0 at 12. We own the airfield and airspace. You are cleared for takeoff. Have a good one. Cleared for takeoff. Check your parking brake off. Check your trim set. Check your nose roof bearing on maneuver. Diamond Bargo, a low transition, right turn out. 83, diamond out there on 16. Let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, The Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Cal's AWOL tonight, and we're glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today, and it's an extreme pleasure to have Dr. Tanya Butler with us. But we need to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of conversation about my sweet deal. I'm just sorry a lot of grunts can't say that. Can't say sweet, right, you know? But it's a pleasure to have Dr. Tanya Butler back with us here again. But, Doc, I really enjoyed listening to your two guests there and seeing the things that are going on at your facility over in Daphne and the meditation program. Now, look, a lot of people might want to laugh at something like that. But that can be a serious deal for some of our guys that have got some serious problems.
Yeah, and actually, you know, we had some who came into the program. They came in and out, you know, who had some serious problems and confided in me, you know, throughout the program about struggling and, you know, wanted to make sure that they wanted to be in the program but had a hard time keeping up with things. And so I would text them every Thursday and remind them, meditation tonight.
Right.
Meditation tonight. Be there. Right. And, you know, struggling with alcohol, struggling with just finding their place and feeling lost. And I'll tell you, I've heard this statement more often than not lately over the last month is, I feel lost. I don't know where I belong.
And I think we're there with that. And one of the things that I've talked to some of our vets that are, you know, that have just gotten out, I also talked to the gentleman with the fight or die group mm-hmm. that are going out, and they're going back out on their big kayak. You know, they go row across the ocean. But yeah. And one of the things that Brian and I was talking about, it actually at the funeral for our Marine that had committed suicide here a couple of weeks ago, and it appears to us vets, and you being one, you will understand that when we have our problems in service, from service, because we weren't that way when we went in, or they wouldn't have taken us. Now, us having a problem, something having occurred to us, in front of us, and involved us, and it puts us into a mental state that we can handle as long as we stay in that atmosphere. As long as we stay with our buddies, as long as we stay with our group, we still continue to do everything every day, and we have that mission that we have to complete.
Well, what people need to understand is that the military is its own subculture. We become our own family.
Right.
And, you know, we are a melting pot of people, and it's the only place and the only job you'll ever have that you're working with people who are completely different, religion, right, politics, right, background, dialect, everything, total different belief system, and none of it matters because you have one mission, get
right,
it done.
Right, get
and,
it done.
And we don't care if you like each other, get
right,
it done.
Get it done.
And then you figure out.
And you leave all that other stuff on the side because if you get a problem and I'm with you and you and I are on a mission, then I'm looking for you to take care of me, to cover me, and, you know, be my six and nine, whatever,
yes,
you know. And in turn, you're looking for me. You don't give a damn what color I am,
nope,
what your beliefs are, what your religion is.
None of it matters.
You know, or how old you are, how young you are. It's you're here, and I'm supposed to protect you. You're supposed to protect me, and we have a mission. Let's get off our butts and go do it.
So what's really interesting, over the last many years, I've been involved in a lot of research and spoke on a lot of national stages at veterans conferences. And what's really interesting is that we're seeing a significant increase in PTSD issues and symptoms,
right,
in vets who have been out in the military 20, 30 years. And, you know, and the general public can't understand this because they're asking, well, why? It's been so long. And what we're showing in some of the research, and especially in women veterans, they did a study in Vietnam veterans, the nurses, that, you know, they go through life. They have babies. They have families. They're busy. And so there's just no time for that.
We don't have time to think about that.
You don't have time because you have a different mission, and you're busy, and you do not have time to break down.
Well, the woman's got her mission. The man's got his mission.
Right.
He comes home, and he gets married, and they have kids. He gets a job, and then his mission is to take care of himself and take care of that family.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens. We lose that job.
Or kids grow up.
The kids grow up, and you get that empty nest syndrome.
Yes,
and
I'm there.
You're getting a good dose of that right
I
now.
I am.
I've gone through that.
Yeah,
I've gone through
it's
the
tough.
Empty nest with the kids, and then the dang grandkids that you help raise. You know, but and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that.
But you have more time and space, and you have more quiet that you've never had. And in that quiet is when the noise comes up.
Oh, yes.
And now what we're trying to do is help to deal with that noise and not make it noise so much, and to find a way to move through that and, you know, and to not have it come out and in trauma, but to find a way to just move through this.
Well, you know, and here you go again. The same thing happened to our World War II veterans. They came home. They walked. Mm-hmm. They left the bus station or the train station. They walked back to the farm, and they started plowing again, you know. And then they got married, and then they had the kids, and they continued plowing or farming or working in the plants or whatever. They didn't have their problems until they didn't have a job anymore.
Right. So this meditation program, I will tell you, I'm the first one who had no interest in meditation.
I'm on that page, you know, and I have been.
I'm a little too high strung. I couldn't sit long enough. I couldn't quiet my mind. I just had too much stuff in my mind.
Right.
I couldn't do it, which is why I turned to kayaking. I was whitewater kayaking. I needed the adrenaline rush. But it's taken all these years for me to get to a point to where meditation is a welcome component in my life and where I can sit and calm myself. And in this class, I mean, we did a class on pain, and we learned about how pain could help.
In a meditation class.
Let me tell you something. I was in excruciating pain because I had hurt my neck, and for like 10 minutes during the meditation, the pain absolutely left my body.
What?
I'm not kidding. So
that's cool. So, what do you hear a doctor say that?
Yeah,
be the witness.
As kooky as it may sound, I mean, there, you know, for whatever reason, it left my body. And you know, this program was fantastic. And the last class was on forgiveness.
Awesome. Well, now, when would you have another class?
We're looking to do this in fall. So, you know, we're going to have to find a place to host it. Because I got to build out. We're expanding.
Okay.
But it'll always be free to veterans, and we'll make sure everyone knows.
All right. And we'll take a short break here and get some more information from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the tirade.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
A friend shared this with me recently, and I thought that it was too good not to share with you, our listeners. I find myself relating to much of what is said in the story and the sentiments that it portrays. I hope that many of you will as well. Born in the 1930s and early 40s, we exist as a very special age cohort. We are the last ones. We are the last. Climbing out of the Depression, who could remember the winds of war and the war itself with fathers and uncles going off. We are the last to remember ration books for everything from sugar to shoes to stoves. We saved tinfoil and poured fat into tin cans. We saw cars up on blocks because tires weren't available. My mother delivered milk in a horse-drawn cart. We are the last to hear Roosevelt's radio assurances and to see gold stars in the front windows of our grieving neighbors. We can also remember the parades on August the 15th, 1945, VJ Day. We saw the boys come home from the war, build their Cape Cod-style houses, pouring the cellar, tar papering it over, and living there until they could afford the time and money to build it out. We are the last who spent childhood without television. Instead, imagining what we heard on the radio. As we all like to brag, With no TV, we spent our childhood playing outside until the streetlights came on. We did play outside, and we did play on our own. There was no Little League. The lack of television in our early years meant for some of us that we had a little real understanding of what the world was like. Our Saturday afternoons, if at the movies, gave us newsreels of the war and the Holocaust sandwiched in between Westerns and cartoons. Newspapers and magazines were written for adults. We are the last who had to find out for ourselves. As we grew up, the country was exploding with growth. The GI Bill gave returning veterans the means to get an education and spurred colleges to growth. VA loans fanned the housing boom. Pent-up demand coupled with new installment payments put factories back to work. New highways would bring jobs and mobility. The veterans joined civic clubs and became active in politics. In the late 40s and early 50s, the country seemed to lie in the embrace of brisk but quiet order as it gave birth to its new middle class. Our parents understandably became absorbed with their own new lives. They were free from the confines of the Depression and the war. They threw themselves into exploring opportunities they had never imagined. We weren't neglected, but we weren't today's all-consuming family focus. They were glad we played by ourselves until the streetlights came on. They were busy discovering the post-war world. Most of us had no life plan, but with the unexpected virtue of ignorance and an economic rising tide, we simply stepped into the world and went to find out. We entered a world of overflowing plenty and opportunity, a world where we are welcomed. Based on our naive belief that there was more where this came from, we shaped life as we went. We enjoyed a luxury. We felt secure in our future. Of course, just as today, not all Americans shared in this experience. Depression and poverty was deeply rooted. Polio was still a crippler. The Korean War was a dark presage in the early 50s, and by mid-decade, school children were ducking under desks. China became Red China. Eisenhower sent the first advisors to Vietnam. Castro set up camp in Cuba, and Khrushchev came to power. We are the last to experience an interlude where there were no existential threats to our homeland. We came of age in the late 40s and early 50s. The war was over, and the Cold War, terrorism, climate control, technological upheaval, and perpetual economic insecurity had yet to haunt life with insistent unease. Only we can remember both a time of apocalyptic war, I got that out, and a time when our world was secure and full of bright promise and plenty. We experienced both. We grew up at the best possible time, a time when the world was getting better, not worse. We are the last ones. Many from this generation, the last ones, have said that they still believe that there are better times ahead for this nation. Patriots like Sid Phillips, who said that the greatest generation will be the generation that returns us to the values and traditions that made this country the shining city on a hill, that led millions to come to our shores in search of the liberty and freedom that created so many opportunities for previous generations. The challenges that we face today are not new. Civilizations throughout history have faced the same and worse. Unfortunately, we have created a system that is leading to our destruction, an overwhelming leviathan known as the government media corruption complex. The establishment that is currently being challenged by outsiders and the silent majority that have had enough of being told that the country they love is nothing but a racist, bigoted, homophobic haven for hayseeds that secretly yearn for the days of Dixie. Certainly, there are still those in the nation and in the world who live in the Stone Ages. Just see the JV team of ISIS. But the majority of Americans yearn for something more simple, the nation that the last ones knew and they helped to build, the greatest nation for freedom and liberty that the world has ever known, and one that every citizen should thank a veteran for helping to protect. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Author is unknown, but it could have been me.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka,
boom! Boom, boom, shakalaka. You caught me in the middle there. Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. On transmitting live on 106.5 and firing shots around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Dr. Tanya Taylor. Butler. This is Taylor. Woo, where did I get that from?
I usually get Tanya Tucker, so.
Tanya Tucker.
Tanya Tucker.
So. Tanya Sike, baby.
Yeah, just as long as, what's her name? Tanya took out the knees.
Oh, there
know.
You go. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the areas that you were talking about a while ago mm-hmm. about the meditation programs that these vets had the occasion to participate in. And I think I heard you say something that I really don't understand, and we don't see a lot of it, and it's for the veterans, it was free. How does that work?
It's free, yes. So we, you know, we rely on donations, and, you know, it was our intention to do fundraisers last year, but everybody knows what happened.
Yes.
So generous people donate money to this. The whole reason for creating this foundation was, number one, I wanted to give veterans and first responders the opportunity to use alternative therapies for healing. But not just that, I didn't want them to come from a medical center, from anywhere. I wanted this to be anonymous for them, because a lot of people won't participate
right.
if they know that they're going to be tracked.
If there's a paper trail.
Right. Or if other people know that they're doing this and that they may be hurting.
Right.
And so, I mean, we don't track any of this. We just want you to show up. We just want you to get what you can out of this and just take away and heal. Make some friends. That's all we want, you know, and I know it goes against a lot of things because, you know, my board wants to see participation. So, you know, I give them a head count of this and, you know, and I may have, you know, just some names here and there, but they know that that was my mission to begin with.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll figure it out as we go along, but the whole point is to promote healing the best way that we can, because I don't want people to lose their families, I don't want them to lose their jobs, and most importantly, I don't want them to lose their lives.
Totally, totally. And that is so precious for you to be doing this and making it available to our vets. And they don't have to be a member of the VA. Some of the programs that you have, they do have to be. In other words, as far as your
massage therapy, but that is sponsored, that's paid for by the VA, and that is a medical treatment, and so that's, you know, that is totally different. But like Team River Runner is a national nonprofit.
Okay.
It's not involved with the VA at all. The Vera Fortis Foundation is a nonprofit in this community. We're serving, you know, our local heroes.
Awesome. That is so great. But, you know, and I know that some of our vets will participate in the program as long as there's not a paper trail, as long as they don't have to be recommended by the VA, and as long as all their friends don't know about it. You know, but then later on, if they want to come on the air and say something about it when we invite some of these people, then that's fine. But if they don't, that's okay, too.
That's okay.
That's okay. There's no problem with that.
It's okay. You know, you tell who you want to tell. And you bring what friends you want to bring with you.
Sure.
Because our hopes are is that you get something out of this and it profoundly changes your life, that you want to spread the word and share with someone else so that they can have the same kind of healing experience that you did, and that your life looks different so that this next half of your life is the best part of your life.
All right. In that regard, when do you have another class planned, a program, a date or anything?
Yeah, actually this summer what we're working on is a program. I'm working with Home Depot now to see if we can't get this grant together. But what we're doing is we're pairing up able-bodied vets with disabled-bodied vets, and we're building planter boxes so that, you know, they can, you know, have vegetable gardens, flower gardens, whatever. And we'll be building this. So we're working on that. Stay tuned. Just keep an eye out on the Vera Fortis Foundation's Facebook page. We'll put it out there everywhere I can. And then this fall, we'll have the 12-week meditation program again.
Neat. Okay. Well, make sure that you get back with us, and I'm sure you will, because we'll keep you involved with our program, and let us know about that so that some of our veterans that are out there that may be listening, and they don't want to get involved with all this stuff, and they don't want this paper trail, that they will just give you a call and show up for the class.
Yeah, and then, like we said on the show before, the best way to find out about any programs is ask another vet.
Right.
You know, these will not, I mean, we'll do our best to post around, but you just have to ask around. Ask your friends, ask other vets, hey, do you know of anything going on? We'll put it out with Marine Corps Leagues, with American Legion.
Right.
You know, we'll reach out so that we can get the word out the best we can.
Sure.
But just ask.
There you go. All right. Well, it's been a blessing to have you on board with us tonight.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed your guest. And that brings us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, The Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have enjoyed the show. And give us the phone number if they need to get in touch with you for your services that you render over there.
You can call us at 251-459-0500. And if you want to participate in the massage to help with healing, ask your primary care at your VA and tell them that you want to use complementary health massage therapy, and they'll send authorization over and we'll get you in.
Hoorah!